John. He's my big brother. He mightn't be older, but he is bigger. Like, he's a real man mountain. Really is. He's a big personality. Really big personality. Makes an easy impression. Just walks into a room and he just makes friends. He's at ease within his own skin. Good at everything. It's really annoying. Really self-assured, almost arrogant. We used to wind him up. We would quote the teachers at him. We'd say, "I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty. I will humble the pride of the ruthless." And like Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." To fear the Lord is to hate evil. But I hate pride and arrogance. He's good at everything. So annoying. Quick with the tongue. Always has an answer. Always has an opinion. Always another way to look at things. He's also quick to act. Which is great sometimes. Because, well, it's so easy just to take things easy whenever you're self-employed. You know, in our line of work, well, sort of our old line of work, he's a grafter, he's a real grafter. You know, I mean, the fish just don't catch themselves. They say, quick with the tongue, quick with the actions. Sometimes that's not so good. Got himself into some scrapes. Sometimes it's hilarious. There's really funny things. Just too many stories to tell you at the minute. But we've had a good laugh at his expense over the years. But since meeting the master, there's been a whole litany of news stories. And I suppose stories of kind of faith and failure all at the same time. Maybe not just so funny. Some of the stories with the master, we've ended up terrified and just asking, who is this? One of our first encounters with the teacher, he actually used our boat as a pulpit. We had been out all night, caught nothing. And the master came along and he asked to use the boat and talk to the people, which was great. But then after he finished, he says, "Here, boys, put out into deep water. Put out into deep water." We've been out all night, caught nothing, we were scunnered. Man, it was a bumper catch of fish that day. We had to get James and John to come and help us. There was just so many fish. I mean, I was amazed, but Peter, he just fell on his knees. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Something changed in him. Something really changed in him that day. What do you hear this? There was another day he walked on the water. Yep. You heard me right. Walked on water. You see, we'd been with the master, and that day he'd fed, I mean, this is ridiculous as well, he'd fed 5,000 people. Well, 5,000 men. And then there was the women and the children as well. So, numbers, like, whoa. But afterwards he told us, "Get into the boat, go over to Bethsaida." In the middle of the night, he came walking to us on the water. Well, we were terrified, absolutely terrified. And in the middle of this, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." I think, duh. But he got over the side of the boat. Now he took his eyes off Jesus, the wind and the waves, and he began to sink, and he called out, and Jesus lifted him. But here, what a story to tell your kids. Me? I just sat in the boat. It's not my story. Peter, faith, I wouldn't have done it. But failure, it's kind of both at the same time. There's another story when Jesus asked us who we thought he was, and we just all recited what everybody's saying. You know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, and so on. He says, no, what about you? Who was the one who spoke up? Yep, Peter. He blurts out, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Where did that come from? Well, Jesus told him, actually, it was God revealed it to him. Whoa! What? But almost in the next breath, Peter gets rebuked by Jesus, gets told off. And I'm sure the words stung like salt water in a cut. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." It's the same boy who God had just revealed his identity to. Faith and failure. It took a darker turn just in the last few days, really. Peter, right in the middle of it, as you would expect. We were all out at Gethsemane. And the master had asked us to pray with him. I don't know about you, but I find it really hard to pray, to concentrate. But it seemed Jesus really needed us to be with him. Things were really tense in the city. And he took Peter, James, and John away into a huddle, and then he went off on his own. But when he came back, they had all fallen asleep. But it was Peter that he spoke to. It was Peter. Peter kind of got scolded. "Could you not keep watch even for an hour?" It's around then that the priests and the soldiers came as well, with Judas. With Judas, we couldn't believe it. He'd been with us for all those years, betraying Jesus. Peter pulls out a sword, flails about a bit. I think Malchus just kind of got in the way. Peter was just trying to protect the master. Jesus says calmly, "Just put your sword away. Shall I not drink from the cup my Father has given me?" Like, what does that mean? I didn't do anything. Peter, right in there. I mean, I'm a fisherman, not a fighter. But Peter just felt that he couldn't do right for doing wrong. Faith and failure. See, my job seems to be bringing people to Jesus. Peter's job, there's something more there, something more. It was me who actually, empty glass. It was me who actually introduced Peter to Jesus. John was in the desert. I'd been listening. He pointed at Jesus and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Peter, though, following Jesus, became one of the inner circle. Peter, James, John. I didn't really mind, but they saw some amazing things that I didn't. There's a wee girl, Jairus' daughter, brought back to life, the house. It's a story about up in the top of the mountain. I think they called it the Transfiguration. But on the top of the mountain, they met Moses and Elijah. They heard the very voice of God. And Peter, of course, he blurts out something about building tents. Faith and failure get rebuked again. But there's something special about his relationship with Jesus. It's like the master has great plans for him. Months ago, we all heard it, on the same day that Peter said that you're the Christ, Jesus immediately said to him this, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it." That's Peter, my brother. Just two nights ago, in the midst of all the chaos, Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And that's strange. And then he said this, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When you have turned back from what? Strengthen your brothers. Well, here the wheels really came off in the courtyard. I didn't even go that far. I just ran from the garden. Best to keep offside. Not Peter. He followed. He followed at a distance. Found himself by a small fire. And one of our wider group, well, he slipped right on in. He was known to the high priest and the kind of the household. He came back out, got Peter, brought him from the outside to the inside. And Jesus had warned him about all that was going to happen. Peter, as usual, in his fashion, he said, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison or even to death. Worse still, in the middle of all this, and in the middle of his pain and humiliation, the cock crowed. And Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter in the eye. He said it was like a knife searing through his heart. But think, Peter was in the Lord's mind even in the middle of his suffering. Does that not make you think? I like to think that I'm in the Lord's mind too. And Peter often says to us that we should cast all our anxiety on Jesus because he cares for us. You should almost write that down. He was inconsolable though. Just the tension, wanting to do the right thing for doing the wrong thing, faith and failure. He was like a broken man. His hope was gone. He was in despair. I mean, it's not that long ago that all the people were abandoning Jesus. Lots of people were just turning their back on Jesus. And he asked us this. He says, do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave as well? Peter spoke for all of us. Maybe not for Judas, but certainly for me. Maybe for all of us. Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life, and we know, we believe, that you're the Holy One of God. Two days later, everything changed. Mary arrived from the garden tomb. She said it was empty. Well, except for an angel. The angel told her two things. He is not here, he is risen. And, get this, go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Don't miss that now. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter was on the Lord's mind. Well, Peter and John ran. John, he's a wee bit more athletic, bit more of an athletic physique. He got there first, but he wouldn't go into the tomb. Peter, he arrived, and yep, you guessed it, straight in. John went in, saw that the tomb was empty, and he just believed. It was like all the pieces of a jigsaw just all coming together. Peter said, though, he just couldn't lift himself. Just had let the Lord down so much. He went back to the room. All sorts just racing through his head. Just this tension of faith and failure. It was that night, though, that Jesus showed himself to us all. And then later, as he told us and said to us to go back into Galilee, Jesus turned the big fisherman into a shepherd. Now, I don't know what you think when you think about Peter. For me, three words: hope lives again. I mean, how did we miss, "You alone have the words of eternal life"? How do we miss it? You see, with Peter, I have seen firsthand his failures. I've also seen firsthand his faith. I've seen his impulsiveness, his impatience, his arrogance, and his pride. I've lived with it as my brother. But I've also seen his commitment, his strength, his desire to serve, to stand. It's like failure is not the end. This morning, failure is not the end. And there's a reassurance that Jesus has a plan and a purpose. He had for Peter, like he has for me, Andrew, like he has for you. And maybe the breaking of the man was the making of the man of God. As Peter himself puts it like this: in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you. The resurrection changes everything. For Peter, it's transformed him. It changes everything. Please listen for a moment, just in.